Welcome to USA Football's Coach and Coordinator Podcast, where top football coaches from around the country share their stories, philosophies, concepts, and strategies to help you get better on and off the field. Now, here's your host, Keith Grabowski.
Welcome to the Coaching Coordinator Podcast. The summer is moving quickly, and before you know it, it'll be time to report for training camp. This brand new series, which we are calling our training camp series, is designed to help you prepare for and take you through training camp. During this series, we will feature a number of FBS and FCS coaches who have all shared different ideas, processes, and thoughts on how to run and develop training camps. We try to get perspective on everything from how much conditioning to put into your players, to how they handle their installs, to how effectively communicate with players during what's really the hardest part of the entire football season. We hope you enjoy this series. Now let's send it over to today's guests. Welcome to USA Football's Coach and Coordinator Podcast. We begin our preseason series with a defensive coordinator at Ball State University, David Elson. Coach, it's great to have you here today.
Great to be here, man. I appreciate you having me on. I've been a fan and have listened several times over the years.
Well, that's great to hear, Coach. And so, as you know, we're going to just spend a little bit of time here, talk a little bit about your background and get a feel for, you know, your journey through this profession. I think everybody's is always a little bit different. But for you now, 2017 was the beginning of your tenure as Ball State's defensive coordinator. Prior to that, you were at Western Illinois, Southern Illinois, New Mexico State, Indiana, Western Kentucky, and your first stint was at Southern Illinois as a GA. So you've been at this for a while. I'm sure you've learned a lot of things along the way, been able to serve in a number of different positions, including the head coaching position when you're at Western Kentucky. And now it's leading a team in the MAC, which, as you and I, you know, started talking off air, is really a very, very competitive conference. So I'm just looking at, you know, the way you've progressed through this profession. What are some of the key things you really have learned along the way here, especially when it comes to what we're going to talk about today in terms of this time of the year, the preseason, and how we roll through that efficiently?
Mm-hmm. Well, the first thing when you asked that question that came to my mind is that journey that you just went through. You know, I got really lucky and was able to be at Western Kentucky for 14 years. And, you know, you just don't get to do that very often in this profession, as I've learned over the last 10 years. This will be my third year at Ball State. And since leaving Western Kentucky in 2009, it'd be the first time I've been someplace for 3 years. So I go all the way back to when I was a graduate assistant at Southern Illinois. And then I got that first job at Western Kentucky. And I got the advice, and I really felt like I stuck to it, was like, you know, treat every job as if it's going to be your last, because it might be. And, you know, that's what I felt like we did at Western Kentucky. And, you know, everything that you do, you know, when it comes to preparing, you know, your defense, your playbook, you're saying, you know, I want to do this as if I'm going to be here for the rest of my life. And I think if you approach it that way, then you're on the right track, and you're not somebody that's on the phone looking for jobs and that type of thing. And so, you know, that was the first thing that came to mind when you said kind of what have you learned and, you know, taken from all those experiences, because it really has been a lot of lessons learned over the last 10 years, because I got spoiled in having so much continuity and being at the same place. And then, excuse me, bouncing around, that's where I realized the value of continuity and the things that you can get done when you're able to stay in the same place, you know, for an extended period of time. And, like, you know, for example, the stuff we're going to talk about today is my approach this year at Ball State in year three would be not completely different, but a lot of different things, you know, going into this camp, you know, that's, you know, from that first year, you know, when you're still learning players and learning your coaches and what everybody's strengths are. So, you know, those are just a couple things, you know, that I, you know, said, as you brought that question up about, you know, that journey over my coaching career. I think just the value in being someplace and really, you know, putting your feet down and saying, I'm going to be here and build something special, and then just see what happens, and typically good things are going to happen.
I think the key word you brought up a couple times there was consistency. And so whether, yeah, you know, it's year 14 somewhere or it's year three, consistency in what you do as your players get to know you, your coaches need get to know you, is very important. I think a lot of that is reflected in the plan you put together that you carry into camp in the install. And believe me, that's a very dynamic document and tool for the coaches, because there's so many things that happen, whether it's changes in personnel, whether it's, you know, maybe a guy steps up with a skill set you didn't expect him to have this particular season, whether it's an incoming freshman or a guy who really developed himself in the offseason. All kinds of things can change, but you look for that consistency in, here's how we're going to operate, here's the process. So as you look at that, for you guys, what's that process in saying, you know, here's how we're going to teach this defense, here's what we're going to be consistent with, and then folding in some of those adjustments that happen along the way?
Yeah, you know, first of all, I think, you know, when it comes to, you know, the teaching part of it, you know, kids are, you know, obviously, you know, we say they're different, but I don't think that that's necessarily true. I mean, they're still going to all, you know, just like 20 years ago, they've got their ways of learning. And I go back, you know, you learn by doing. And, you know, we've gone to where, you know, we're able to give our guys iPads and they have all these resources right at their fingertips. And you know, there's ones that are going to really dive into it. But at the end of the day, it does come back to, you know, us being teachers of the game and finding ways to connect with our players. And our big thing is just that, you know, we want to make sure that we're trying to touch, you know, every different way that a guy learns. When you have a you know, we'll have 49 guys that report to camp on defense, and we've got to try to get those 49 guys, you know, to be as good as they possibly can be, because you never know, like we'll talk about the changes in personnel. And so, you know, we are pretty typical, I think, in that, you know, we're going to have our, you know, our install is planned out, you know, base for the first 3 days, and we'll get into third down and red zone, you know, those type of things. I think we're pretty typical. You know, then I'm going to have prepared for our defense, you know, an install, obviously the overall plan, but then, you know, an install cut up. And that's where I think it gets, you know, as the coordinator, there's a balance of, I really have always believed in, goes back to my days of working for Coach Harbaugh, of, you know, this is a team game and, you know, team defense. And so we start everything off always when it comes to install as a full defense. And I will, you know, basically introduce and give the why of the defense, the overall communication that has to happen, so on and so forth. But I've really become a lot more aware, especially when I'm coaching a position as a coordinator, that those position coaches really need their time to get into the details and the specifics of their position. So we don't watch a ton of video together as a unit when it comes to the installs. I try to give the overview and then, you know, let them break up and get into the details, you know, at their position. What we really encourage, and then we'll do it as a group, but I really try to break it up. You know, there's people that, whatever the studies are, that say, you know, kids aren't going to be able to pay attention for much longer than 30 minutes. And we try to, you know, adhere to that and say, hey, after 25, 30 minutes, get up. You know, our facility set up to where you got pretty quick access out to the field. Hey, walk out and have a quick position, you know, walk through of what you just got done talking about, to give them a break, to give them a change of scenery, to keep, you know, all those, well, just keep their interest and you know, keep it active. And I think sitting in a meeting room for 45 minutes to an hour anymore is can become counterproductive. So, you know, when it comes to, you know, that teaching part of it, it really does go back to, I think, changing up the picture. When I say the picture, you know, it's, hey, here's the diagram of it. Okay, here's a video of it. Here's us doing it in the spring. I've done, you know, I've gone and looked at a lot of video this summer of other people that are similar to us and trying to give our guys, you know, seeing examples from whether it's the NFL or if it's somebody in the SEC that's running a similar concept to let them see them do it. And it might be perfect. It might be, you know, hey, I think this guy could have done this a little bit better, but always just trying to give them a fresh perspective and knowing that all those guys, something, you know, is different is going to connect with each guy. And so, you know, we go back and try to learn from ourselves, obviously, from what we did last in the fall and in the spring. But then, you know, trying to find those other examples out there and, you know, as a teacher, trying to just keep things as dynamic and interactive as we possibly can when it comes to, you know, our base install.
As you're going through your install and the things you planned out, and you've had that opportunity in the spring to do it and put it in, you have new kids now with, you know, the freshmen coming in, and, you know, that adds a different dynamic to it. And then mm-hmm. it's different too, because now it's, you know, at the end of these, I can't remember what it is, at 25, 26 opportunities, we got a game, right? We have an opponent looming at the end of this, not a spring game against ourselves. So it's a completely different focus. But also, as I mentioned, you know, there may be some adjustments along the way. Do you find yourself saying, as you look at, you know, your install plan, your install schedule, that we're just going to stick with this no matter what? Or do you find times with the staff as you guys look at how you might adjust that, or maybe we need to spend more time on this, or I'm not liking how this looks right now, and maybe we take this out and focus on something else? How much do you guys look at that, evaluate that over the course of camp?
Yeah, that's a great point. We literally just got done having that conversation, and we've got some personnel issues. We have some guys coming off injuries, and we have some question marks, you know, is, you know, going into camp, especially in our back end. And so the way we approach it, and I've always, you know, kind of questioned this, and I mean, you know, you're always trying to just make sure you're doing what's best for your team, but I've got this, you know, I like to think we're pretty organized, and I got this whole install plan, you know, laid out through whatever it is, 13, 14 practices. And we were talking about it the other day, and I said, all right, man, here it is, but I promise you it's going to change because of exactly what you're talking about, in that there's going to be a freshman, and we know it. You know what I mean? We're already finding out from, let me back up just a second, you know, as you go into it, you know, this other thing we've talked about is how different things are now, because, I mean, our guys have been doing this stuff all summer. I mean, our first 5 days of install, there's not going to be anything that they haven't already been doing in player run practices. And, you know, we're able to get out there, you know, football can't be around, but we've had, or able to have more interaction with them in the summertime than it used to be. So as you go into camp, I think a couple things is, you know, number one, yeah, you got to keep an open mind of, hey, you know, somebody is going to have taken the next step and surprise you, and there's going to be an injury, and we're going to have, I was just thinking about one of our defensive linemen literally driving yesterday about, hey, he might be able to play this position because of what's going on at that position. So definitely we go into it with a ton of flexibility. I think the other thing that is, that I'm factoring into it as we go into camp is, you know, there's not two-a-days anymore. And, you know, we're all trying to be really, really smart in the workload and working with our strength coach and how much we're doing. And so, you know, we're going 3 days and then we have an off day. I was looking at the Colts training camp schedule. They won't go, you know, they go 4 days and an off day, you know what I mean? So we're all very cognizant of making sure that our team goes into that first game fresh. We're also, you know, concerned about overtraining because everything has become so year round. So consequently, camp is not as crazy busy as it was in the days when you were, you know, you had two-a-days and you were scripting. We had back-to-back 2-a-days, and, you know, and you're trying to script in between practices, and you got all that. So my point in saying all that is that, you know, we're going to build in and say, look, on that first off day, we're going to regroup, and we're going to see what we've got in, and we're going to look and say, this is what we're, you know, we had, you know, originally planned to put in. What do you think? You know, can we do this now? Because we've got some continuity and we've got some kids that have done the stuff that we've been doing. I'm going into it with the mindset of being a little bit more aggressive and saying, hey, we're gonna do it. We're gonna get it in, and at least maybe I'll just call it when I know, or I'll script it when we've got, you know, the veterans in there, and make sure we're smart, you know, from a scripting standpoint, for the, you know, knowing who's going to get what reps and that type of thing. But definitely, you know, we go into it and say, you know, this is the, you know, the perfect world. And then we know that never once in 25 years have I stuck exactly to an installation plan, you know, as we had it going into day one. So I think there's a lot of things, though, you know, dynamics that have changed over the last couple of years that, you know, make you really look at stuff like that and say, you know, how are we going to approach this? Hey, we got to look and see, you know, what this guy's doing, and we got to make sure this guy's getting X number of reps to see, you know, can he do what we're, you know, we were planning on him doing. And then, you know, at the end of the day, that's our job, is to, you know, make the decision and say, all right, let's back off. You know, I think they're overloaded, or, you know, let's keep pressing forward because, you know, they're handling it really well. And then the other thing I was thinking about as, you know, we had talked about, you know, this whole conversation was going into camp, you know, and you say, well, you know, what from an installation is your system, your system. The other thing that we're trying to do is look at, you know, our first two opponents and say, okay, have enough of a game plan thought that you say, there's not going to be where we get into where we start the week of Indiana and we say, okay, now let's install this. You know, there should be no new install going into Indiana, is my point, is that what we're doing in camp. And there's been some calls that I've, you know, put in there and tweaked and said, this is something I know that we'll definitely be using those first couple of weeks. So let's make sure we're getting that in there early. And, you know, and then once again, though, same conversation we had was, you know, that whole idea, a lot of people will put together a full game plan for, you know, that first game or that two games. Well, there's a lot of things that are going to change from practice one to practice 15. And, you know, so we don't go full bore, you know, game plan for that first game. It's, you know, there's some basic things within our system that we know, you know, we're going to do and are going to be a part of it. And then I think as we learn our, you know, this team better, because, you know, when you look at it, I like it when, you know, people say, hey, this is team whatever, 117 or however many years you've had a football team. But this team's never been, you know, when we report on August 1st, it's going to be the first time this 110 people have been together ever, you know. So there's a lot of things to learn in training camp with our freshmen coming in and just the, you know, the new pieces that we're plugging in.
It brings a few questions to mind. First of all, just looking at the pace of your install, at least as how it's planned. I talked to a lot of the offensive coaches on here, and many of them mm-hmm. have adopted, I think, what came out of Dana Holgorsen, going to like a 3-day install. And I had Noel Mazzoni come on and talk about how he does a 3-day and then follows it up with kind of a you know, a situational day with those things and a cleanup day, and then going back through the install again with things. From the defensive perspective, you know, how long is it taking you to at least get through things the first time?
Yeah, 3 days is what we're, you know, as far as base, you know, that's what we're allotting is, you know, 3 days of, you know, our base, you know, front stunts, you know, obviously, you know, coverages, and then, you know, some first and second down pressures. You know, really, you know, from a defensive perspective, I always, you know, it's a combination of, yeah, obviously, what's the situation? Those first 3 days are base, but then what personnel groupings are the offense putting in? You know, once we get to third down, you know, what's the down and, you know, is it third and four? Is it third and nine? You know, what's going to be on that script? That's what I really go back to is the number of reps that we're going to get in practice, and, you know, how much is it going to be third and medium as opposed to third and long when we do get to the third downs, because that's where I know that I'll kind of switch up the install a little bit once we get to, you know, knowing exactly, you know, what that day's practice and script looks like. And once again, we went and planned out the first 3 days of practice plans, but I'm of the same mindset, and Coach New and Joey, and we all talked about it, saying, you know, look, it's going to be based on injuries. It's going to be based on, you know, just how we feel about, you know, how the guy's legs are. And so how many team reps you're going to get, which, so then here's another thing that I think the way it is now with one a days and the walkthroughs and everything, this will be the first time, you know, that I've probably have talked about it before, but I know we'll do this in that there'll be something that we're going to install, but it won't necessarily be in the practice script, but I'm going to make sure that we plan it to where we get it in our walkthrough. And then we've at least covered it. And we, you know, I'll find the spot where I can get it, you know, where we can do it in the script, you know, just based on the number of reps that day. And at the end of the day, if we have to back off and, you know, and throw that out, then, you know, you throw that out, because it still comes back to, you know, simplicity and guys playing fast on defense. But, you know, so really, as I look at ours, I mean, we'll be done with our first scrimmage is on practice 8, and we have a cleanup day going into that. We've got, you know, 3 days, I think, of third down red zone, you know, a mixture of that. And so I feel like going into that first scrimmage, you know, on practice 8, we're going to have, you know, 90% of what we're going to do in. And then, like I said, that's when you start tweaking it and saying, all right, throw that out. We're not using that as much, and we don't like it because of this. And, you know, and then you just, that's what I love about camp is you really don't know. I mean, I get it. We've got a system. We got certain things we're going to do, but I like the, you know, the fun of each day. You're going to say, all right, now we know this. So let's, you know, let's keep tweaking and then make a decision and roll with it.
And you touched on this a couple times, the workload, and, you know, what we see today more and more is the guy who was just our strength coach years ago and was the guy we would see in the weight room. He and his staff are doing so much more, really, at every level. And you know, so I had an interesting conversation with the head football coach at Union High School in Oklahoma, Kirk Frederick, and he talked about, you know, on the podcast, it'll be aired before this one's up, that they really plan out the amount of reps, and they are scaling up their players' reps to a point where the workload is game-like, but they don't start with that on day one. They're very cognizant of, you know, the workload that they're putting on them, and I see more and more, whether it's using technology like Catapult or those types of tools, or just having somebody who's really putting an eye on that that's become such a big part of what we do and really works into this install as well, from especially the physical standpoint, as far as the number of reps we're going to put on these guys. So when you look at that, number one, how much are you relying on, you know, the performance staff, as well as looking at the amount of reps that you're giving out to certain players or certain units? How many, for example, you know, is the first team getting versus the second team? Because you got to have all those guys prepared. So, I mean, a couple questions there, but how do you handle those things?
Yeah, well, I'll tell you, it's funny because we literally, so you know, everybody talks about how every school's different, and we all have our own different little challenges. And well, our calendar is something that's a little different, and our guys are going to have a longer break before we come back than you typically would, just based off our summer, you know, the way, you know, Ball State does our, you know, summer school calendar. Last day of classes is tomorrow, July 19th. And so they don't come in till August 1st. So, you know, our strength coaches, you know, we're going to have guys, you know, stick around a little bit voluntarily to get a couple extra days in. But at the end of the day, that is factoring into our practice schedules for those first 3 days. And Ben Armour, our strength coach, who's as good as there is, you know, he's really spent a lot of time and shared all this information with us, you know, trying to be as scientific as we possibly can, knowing that they're coming off a little bit of a break. We'd all like to believe that they're all going to be, you know, working out every day and working as hard as they do when they're, you know, with him, but, you know, that's just not the way it is. And so our install literally, you know, changed a little bit based off the fact that those first couple of practices aren't going to be as long as we typically would have been. And so definitely that's a huge factor. And yes, you know, you get the catapult stuff, but we don't have that. So, you know, those guys really do a good job of, they do like a questionnaire to our guys after workouts and after practices and see how they're feeling and, you know, try to gauge things based off of that. But that all goes into it when it comes to, you know, the number of reps. Absolutely. Like I said, mentioned earlier, I think it's a big part of my job and our job scripting is to say, okay, you know, right now, you know, we start things off fairly balanced with the ones and the twos to begin camp. And, you know, because, you know, there's going to be competition at positions and we want to give guys fair chances. We want to mix it up and we want to see them go against different guys. And then we got to look and see what, you know, how many reps do we want those other guys that, you know, whether it's a freshman or it's maybe a transfer that we haven't seen as much like from spring ball. And so all those things factor into it. And it's literally a daily conversation. And, you know, I think that's, once again, that's the beauty of camp and putting the team together.
Coach, the other aspect of this that we probably don't talk enough about as coaches, and there's no coach wearing a catapult, right? And it's more with a coach.
Right.
I mean, certainly, you know, you start getting the point you get on a camp and you're standing out there all day and your back hurts a little bit. So there are the soreness issues for coaches. But there is that point, I think, where you know, you got to watch out for the mental fatigue. I mean, going into it, you're probably running off adrenaline like the first week and a half, right? And then somewhere around a week and
yep.
a half in 2 weeks, every day starts to feel like the other. I mean, it's, you know, it's, we're working. It's a lot different than hitting the rhythm of the season. I mean, we used to joke like, what day is it? Today's Wednesday day. Like, I mean, it had no feel to it other than practice number whatever, right? That's what today is.
Yep.
How do you guard against the mental fatigue? Especially, you know, we talked, it used to be like, man, if you had a two a day, you really like the singles more just because you could be a lot more efficient with your work as a coach and watching film, evaluating, getting scripts ready. So, you know, what are you doing, I guess, as a coordinator, both from your own standpoint, taking care of what you need to keep mentally fresh and as well as making sure that, you know, the staff is staying sharp as well?
Yeah, you know, I probably would, I'm going to sound a little bit old school here, but I'm like, you know, the schedule is so much better. Like I said, when you compare it to the two-a-days and all that, you know, I think I go back to the, you know, with the players and with the coaches, you know, I think you do have to keep things fresh and, you know, change things up when it comes to how you're presenting and mixing in walkthroughs and, you know, coming in and out of a meeting to a walkthrough and giving them breaks and all that stuff. But when it comes to the, you know, in general, I mean, like we got 3 days and we got a day off.
Yeah, right.
And then we got 4 days and we got a day off. And so when I say day off, obviously the coaches aren't off, but I really do think, you know, it lends to being able to stay fresh. And, you know, me as a coordinator, I can't sit there and, you know, call for a, you know, a 6-hour meeting. And let's say we're going to, you know, make a cut up of what we've done for these first 4 practices and, you know, sit here and overanalyze it. You know, I think obviously you can always, you know, overdo things. And so as a coordinator, I've got to be smart and letting guys go when it comes to, you know, meeting time and letting them do their thing. But I really think, you know, the way the schedule is, I love it. I mean, I think it is better for everybody. I think you're better prepared. I think you're able to, you know, give, you know, better breaks in between. And I think it is better for player safety, and it's better for coach, you know, coach's happiness, you know, from the head coach on down, is that, you know, it's just not as much of a grind. I mean, really, you think about those old two-a-days, man, back to back to back. This is honestly, it's a cakewalk when it comes to the preparation. And so, other than me just going crazy with meeting time as a coordinator, I think it really lends to a pretty, you know, a good setup to where, you know, guys can go into the season fresh.
Do you have any tips for coaches on making sure they stay connected on the personal side of things? Because I just know the mentality. I mean, I can remember it in a lot of ways. It would always feel like, you know, like you're in the Navy and you're getting on a ship and sailing away. Because, you know, yeah. I mean, you could be home and not be home because you're thinking about everything right. That's going to happen the next day. Any tips for how you, I guess, at least kind of stay plugged into the other part of life and not let camp overwhelm you?
Yeah, I think, you know, that a lot of times really comes back to who you're working for. And Coach New is as good as anybody I've worked for when it comes to, hey, man, when you leave the office and you know, make sure you're getting to things that your kids have. And, you know, so it's a great, you know, family culture. And so we're able to, you know, do that and feel the free. That I think the biggest thing is that you feel comfortable being able to walk out of the building. And Mike New has established that culture that, hey, you know, if you need to take care of something, then you take care of something. But at the same time, you know, I do think we're all wired similarly. And I just think, you know, it really is, it's mental toughness. It's being able to say, okay, I'm going to turn that switch off, and I'm going to turn on my personal family switch. And, you know, we talk to our players about, you know, focus on, you know, what we're doing right now, you know, focus in a meeting, focus in a walkthrough. Well, as a dad, as a husband, you know, you've got to be able to say, all right, I got to have enough mental toughness to turn off the football and turn on, you know, my family. And so, that's the way I look at it, is just like I always put myself, what are we asking the players to do? Well, then I've got to do the same thing. And so if I want them focused on football, then okay. And then I tell them, and I tell the players, I say, hey, once you get away from here, yes, there's sometimes we want you to, you know, we want you to study on your iPad and all that, but yes, at some point you've got to get away from it and you've got to tune it out and go be a kid and yeah, play a video game or, you know, get on your phone and do whatever it is, you know, but get away from it and just hang out. And so, you know, I think we all have to do that. And it's a matter of, you know, I link it back to, you know, mental toughness of being able to say, I'm going to, you know, really train my brain to turn that part of my life off and really focus on this part of it.
Coach, I love that approach. And I don't think I've had any coach in all the hundreds of interviews talk about it in that way, that it is mental toughness. But, you know, when you think about it, it is. And we get caught up as coaches that, you know, we're going to grind, we're going to outwork everybody. And we put our mental toughness chips over on that side of the table and not realize like the mental toughness is actually being able to shut it down. So really appreciate you sharing that with us. You mentioned culture here a couple times and last couple questions really deal with that idea. You know, we spend all that time kind of installing that plan, the culture playbook, and, you know, here's who we are, what we're going to be about, what we're going to do. Here's our beliefs. Here's what we expect out of our behaviors. And when you hit camp, it is definitely time to see those in action. What kinds of things are you doing through camp, I guess, to recognize those things, to call out the situations where here's the guy doing exactly what we said we were going to do. Here's a guy living our culture. Here's a shining example of it. How are you guys, I guess, either as a team or as you know, as a unit, as a defensive unit, or even position groups, recognizing those types of things?
Yeah, you know, we have Coach New's got, you know, a thing. Basically, our program is built around, you know, being a true Cardinal. You know, you come in as a Cardinal, but you're going to leave as a true Cardinal. And and there's a set of expectations and values. And, you know, one of the things he does, we do during camp is, you know, each coach has one of those, you know, to get up and talk about at night and give those examples. You know, like last year, mine was, you know, one of our things is get better daily. And so that was my topic. And I tried to bring some things that, you know, I saw some of our guys doing, gave examples from my life of what, you know, that I try to do to get better. So as a program, you know, same thing too, though, you know, I mean, he'll put up video each night of, hey, this is what we want. You know, this is what we're talking about when we talk about effort, you know, and whether it's an offensive lineman or a, you know, a defensive guy, you know, he'll ask us as coordinators to, you know, hey, send me some clips that I can show of, you know, guys doing it the way, you know, that we expect it to be done. And I think that's huge. And, you know, standing guys up in front and saying, hey, this is the guy that you know, this guy's doing it the way you want, especially if you're freshman. You say, hey, freshman, you looking for somebody to follow? Follow this guy. And do that early. So those freshmen, and I think they've already, you know, because they're there in the summertime, they get a sense of that as well. But, you know, and then, you know, defensively, very similar. You know, we've got our things that we talk about, our core values and a process that we go through for each play and anytime, you know, we see it. But I think it's, you know, that doing it at night in a meeting is great and we'll continue to do it. But what we're really trying to take the next step is to get the players to recognize it, like in practice, and get them to be the ones that are, number one, you know, holding the guy accountable if he's not doing it, but also just, hey, you know, people talk about culture is active. It's dynamic. It's ongoing. It's everything you do. It's how you walk in the room and, you know, how you present yourself. And so we want that to be out of practice where guys are reminding guys to, you know, we talk about grabbing grass and running to the football, getting in the gun line. Those are all things just, you know, using our language and talking the way that we talk. I talk about that a lot in our defensive meeting room as far as the way you say things is the way, you know, it's our way of saying it, you know, it's the cardinal way. And, you know, there's a lot of great stuff out there on culture, but I think the best thing that I've, you know, come to realize and learn and, you know, heard people talk about is just how it is nonstop. I mean, it is every day. It's action more so than, you know, putting up, you know, a sign. I think signage still needs signs. I think you should have signs because you want to have visual reminders. You want to, you know, always be trying to, like I said, everybody learns and you connect different ways with different people. And some people, that sign is going to register. Some people, it's going to be the fourth time I've said it to them. It's going to be, oh, now I get what you're saying. You know, so it's just, it's literally ongoing. And, you know, it's as we all like to say too, it's a process and it truly is. And it's just, you know, the way you go about life and the way you walk in the building. And so I think, you know, just the way a guy, like I try to point out, you know, guys that get into meetings early and they've got their notebooks out and they're ready to go. That's culture. You know, it's getting there a little bit early and being ready to roll, you know, little things like that. I think are huge. And so, you know, we're always talking about it in our staff meetings and then, you know, getting our leadership council to do those things. And I think we're really close to, you know, that, you know, being a player driven thing is, you know, as opposed to being a coach driven thing.
Yeah. When you get the player driven thing going, it does become special. It's fun to be a part of. If it's just driven from the top down from coaches all the time. I mean, honestly, that's when guys get burned out because they can't carry the load all the time. It does have to be picked up by the players.
Absolutely. No, that's exactly right. And that's where, you know, there's been some times in this off season for us where it's like, oh, okay. I don't have to say that anymore, you know? okay. You know, so that's, you know, that's what's fun about the process, you know, and then, it's continual, which is what the challenge is. That's where, like you said, when you talk about coaches staying fresh, I mean, we've got to, you know, continually do it and lead the way each day, but also then know when to kind of take a back seat and let the players, you know, do their thing.
Coach, I think I learned a long time ago, the biggest thing that can kill your culture, your team chemistry, is if, as coaches, you're not good with the evaluation and feedback part of the whole process. That's not just you did this right on this play, or you know, I need you to do this better. It's also, okay, who's getting the playing time? Who's worked for it? Who has those actions? You talked about actions and culture that we want. So how do you guys, you know, I'm sure it's daily, but how do you guys weave that into the process? Is it very formal for you? Is it informal? Is it a blend of the two?
You know, I would say it is a blend of the two. The first thing, and I can, you know, I don't have any problem saying that we've had those issues, and, you know, I've had them at different times throughout my career, and it all, I think, comes back to just clear, honest communication. But at Ball State, the one thing that we've done is we just set, and it's in each position room, is there's a, you know, position expectations. And my job is, I'm coaching the corners. As the coordinator, I have the corners, and Mike Dietzel's got the safeties. And on day one, you know, which we did in the spring, and we'll do it again as we go into camp, to say, okay, here's what this means. You know, it's fine to have it up on a sign like we talked about, but then I've got to do a great job of communicating, here's expectation number one. Here's what that means. Here's what I'm looking for. When we come in here and we watch the video, and when we're on the practice field, what does that mean? And give very, very clear examples of good and bad of, you know, it's, hey, you know your job and do your job. Well, if I'm in a meeting and I ask you what's your responsibility on this play, and you hesitate or I get silence, I want you to know that's an example of you not meeting the expectation, you not being focused. And so that factors into where you're at on the depth chart and how many reps you're going to get and those type of things. And so those position expectations, I think, are really good and help, because if they're the one thing we talked about as we did them is like, look, it's got to be where you can go pull up practice video, go pull up game video and say, all right, here's the expectation and here's where this guy's meeting it and this guy is not. And be able to have that, you know, really clear, open conversation to say, so if you can do that more consistently, then you're going to see yourself, you know, getting more reps and then ultimately more playing time. The other thing that I've done in the past is, and it really kind of depends on the setup of your meeting room, but I would sit them in exactly the way they are in the depth chart. Like, all right, first team, you guys are in the front row. Second team, you're in the second row. And then when something changes, the start of that meeting, all right, hey, you have to get up out of your chair and move back there, and he's moving in front. And I thought that was really, really effective. Now, once again, your meeting room setup can dictate that if you have rows or not. But so that, and then, like I said, just being very, very clear on, all right, here's who's getting the reps. Here's why. And if you don't, you know, understand and you want to talk about it, you know, one-on-one, then my door is always open. But I really, really challenge him and say, hey, if it's important to you, then you're going to come and take the time to talk to me about it. And, that's, we just approach it very, very straightforward and direct. And, it's always going to be, you know, an issue. I don't care what year it is or where you're at, you know, everybody wants to play. And, you just got to be able to sit down and be a great communicator with the players about, hey, you know, this is what we're looking for. And, you know, this guy, you know, is doing it better. And here's an example. And I think the other thing, the last thing before I'm rambling a little bit, but the last thing I would say is this, is that there has to be some element of understanding that, hey, the coaches, us coaches, we've been doing this for a while. Okay. And I just know that this guy, based on, like we talk about culture, the way he walks in the room, the way he takes notes every day, the way he focuses in the walkthrough, you know, those are all things that at some point, you know, I've been in positions where sometimes you don't have like just a clean cut example of this is why this guy's getting more reps than you are. or this is why this guy's playing in front of you. Sometimes it's, you know what? It's the sum of everything. And I think you just have to, I've told Keith that before. I said, look, it's the whole body of work. And here's a couple little examples along the way, but it really does become your body of work. And the other thing is that, like, you know, I'll be in a meeting and I'll call on a kid and ask him a question. And, you know, if that question isn't answered correctly, or, you know, he doesn't answer it the way, you know, we expect him to answer it, I'll pull that kid aside after that meeting and say, all right, there's an example. You understand that? Or obviously when somebody does it right and somebody, you know, stands up, answers a question in a meeting or does something in a walkthrough, and you, you know, I make sure, hey, you point it out and say, okay, that's exactly what we expect. That's why he's going to get more reps. And then, you know, there's been times where at the end of a practice, I say, hey, by the way, I want you to know I changed the reps in practice today because of what happened in the walkthrough. Because so-and-so wasn't focused in the walkthrough. He was going to get these reps, but I changed it to him because of that. And I just think that honest, open communication, you know, helps, at least that you're not going to have guys that are pouting behind the scenes, because if you tell them straightforward, then, you know, there's really nothing they can go and have that adverse effect in the locker room, because the other players know, hey, man, you know, you're getting communicated with, you know, and you're being treated fairly. That's, you know, that's the biggest thing, is treated with respect and being treated fairly. And I think if you do those things, then you're gonna have a chance.
Coach, you shared a lot of great ideas with us today and how to successfully and effectively get through this camp and preseason here. But if I were to say, you know, what's one thing, as you look at all the things you do as a coach, what's one thing that really is going to give your team the winning edge? What is that?
Oh, I think the energy that we bring each day, you know, in our meetings and walkthroughs, I just think attitude, you know, just our mental approach to it. You know, we've got a lot of passion on our staff, and I think that the energy that we have and we're going to have on a daily basis consistently is what's going to, you know, do, you know, something for our, you know, our guys that, you know, from, you asked that from a coaching perspective, you know, I think, you know, that's, you know, where, you know, we're going to, you know, separate ourselves as we go into this camp and this season is bringing the energy and really being consistent on what our expectations are.
Coaches, you can follow Coach Elson on Twitter. It's at Coach David Elson, ELSON. We'll also put that link in our show notes at blogs.usafootball.com. Coach, I really appreciate you taking the time here, and best of luck to you and the Cardinals in 2019.
All right, man. No problem. I appreciate you having me.
Thanks for listening to the podcast. Please check out all we're doing on Twitter at our Twitter handle for coaches at FBDEV Coach. Check out our systems for blocking, defeating blocks, and tackling at footballdevelopment.com. If you register there with your email address, you can get access to our shoulder tackle system, the entire system, as well as 3 free videos of your choice, either from advanced tackling or from our contact system, which is blocking and defeating blocks. This is some of the best stuff, some cutting edge stuff, I think, that you're going to find is very efficient and effective in the way you teach your players. And there's a lot of drills here that help you improve that skill year round. Check it out at footballdevelopment.com. Check out our coaches' notes on usafootball.com. Go to the resources tab for development and training. Our coaches' notes are given to us by coaches around the country, state champs, some of the NCAA leaders. Those guys have been doing a great job in putting that together in our tips format, which is teach, install, and problem solve. And in there, we also have further review, which we allow our clips to be downloadable, and you can download those and put them into your huddle. No need for an extra subscription to a huddle page. So check those out. And as always, go to blogs.usafootball.com for our show notes, our analysis articles, and coaching. Finally, if you're enjoying the podcast, head over to iTunes and give us a 5-star rate. If you have a minute, write a review. It really helps out the podcast.
Thanks for listening to USA Football's Coach and Coordinator Podcast. For more resources, visit the Coach Performance Center at usafootball.com.